I'm thankful I can stand up here. All the three songs we just sang. I felt like I wanted to say something after each one, or just while we were up here. With the first song, I call to you from out of the deep. I mean, you might think, oh, that's somebody that went down their own path a long ways. That might be me or you, sitting as we leave out of here 2 or 3 hours listening to thoughts that are wrong, and this happened and that happened, and watch the news for a few minutes. Down, back down. And says, I call to you from out of the deep. He hears us. God, who's who we're calling to. Somebody like me, sinner, can call out to creator of heaven and earth and everything that you see, touch, or feel. And he hears me. He hears you. That is, and I think that's the biggest trick of the devil, is that's the beginning of that song, and I call out to you from the deep. Don't want nobody to know that I'm in the deep. We all can easily get distracted or in the deep, and that's the first trick. Nobody else is going through this. We all are going through stuff, and we all need God, and we all need to be able to call out to him. And the next song, Jesus did it for me. If you don't know what he did, I pray that you do. Because we don't deserve to be here. We don't deserve to be able to talk to him. He did it for me. Yes. Just changed nothing into a life that I can talk to him. Amen. And he hears me. I can hear him. And even that last song, To the River. I think Paul says we're being saved instead of we were, and now we're better than everybody. We're being saved. Yes. To the river. We can go to the river. We can go to the Lord. He can wash us clean when we ask. We have to ask. Yes.
Amen. Some precious songs. And I had a couple thoughts also when we were singing, and one of them, the first one, you know, it talks about, you know, wait for deliverance. You know, sometimes the devil can trick you and say, deliverance is out there. Deliverance is right here. I tell you, God has set you free. Said, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. You know, and I know we all go through struggles and there's battles, and you feel like, you know, that you're not free, you're not delivered. But don't let the devil lie to you. God has set you free. You are free right now to worship him, to praise him. He has set you free. Deliverance is right here, right now. And you can tell the devil. You can tell him to go back to hell where he belongs. He's a liar and the father of it. I tell you, when you realize that you are set free, you can lift your hands and praise God and thank him for the victory and tell the devil to go back where he belongs. I tell you, don't think deliverance is way out there. Deliverance is right here. God is an ever-present help right now. It's not out there. It's right now. Amen. Don't let the devil fool you and think, well, deliverance one day will come. Deliverance is right now. We are set free. I tell you, I appreciate what God has done for us. I appreciate he sent his son to the cross to die for us. The blood has been shed, and we are cleansed white as snow. I appreciate that this morning. I don't know, that just came to me so hard when I was singing that about deliverance will come. And that's true to a certain extent. But at the same time, deliverance is right now. And God will meet you here. Yes. He is a present help. Praise God.
Well, praise the Lord. I was enjoying that. Don't stop. Praise God. Well, let me throw this in, more of an announcement kind of thing. I know many of you will remember that a few years ago we had that Pray More Schools event in August where we gathered, you know, for an hour or so outside the schools around Moore County and had and prayer walked and met with people. Well, it hasn't been done in several years, but it's going to be done again, not called that. I think it's Bless Our Schools or something. But I went to a luncheon on Thursday with the same group of ministers that I met when we had that other prayer event where we went through and prayed, you know, prayed for Moore County, prayed for our area. And so they are setting this up, and I just wanted to let people know to think about, I think it's August 14th, like 4:30 in the afternoon, they're going to have the same thing. And I'll mention this. There's something like 38 schools in the in Moore County, if you can believe it. And what they're looking for, I mean, many of you remember who participated in that. You met at the flagpole, and there was a coordinator. There was somebody there to welcome people and to kind of, you know, coordinate in a little bit and lead in prayer and meet the folks. And then we prayer walked after that. There are about half of the schools that are not covered at this point. I didn't sign anybody up, but I just want to throw this out there. If there's somebody that Lord lays it on your heart to do that, let me know and we can get you the information and kind of get you assigned to a school somewhere. So I'll just throw all that out for prayer. But it's a good opportunity to exercise ourselves. The Lord tells us to pray for those in authority, to pray for, you know, those around us. We don't know what the Lord might do. And so let's just remember that. Well, praise God. You know, it seems like a lot of times I will come into a service and I'll have been thinking about something and meditating on a scripture and it's just kind of there. And I walked in here this morning without a clue. And I still am, I'm almost a little bit clueless, but I felt like, you know, the things that have been sung, the things that have been spoken already are a pretty good clue as to what the Lord is interested in. And so I don't know that I'll be up here very long, so everybody get your sword sharp. If the Lord gives you something, I want to hear it. But one thought I had listening to what we were singing and thinking about, you know, the things that we experience in life, including my coming in here and having to deal with, what am I going to say? You know, what everybody expects me to have something. And, you know, those are things that I have to deal with. What God is looking for is not a religion that we simply acknowledge with our brains. If this doesn't make a difference, an actual practical difference in our lives, what good is it? I mean, you believe that we just are supposed to believe the right stuff and do the right activities and that's good enough. No, God wants to take His word and so engraft it in our lives that we are different. We don't just talk about deliverance, but there is an deliverance we experience. And we don't overcome anxiety. We don't overcome anger. We don't overcome any of these things without having to experience the Word of God being actually true in our lives. Well, guess what? How many of you think that comes from lectures? And saying, oh, now I get it. No, the reality is, and we know this, that victory only comes in battle. The only time that we ever really, really learn and get a hold of what the truth of what God has told us is when we have to actually fight our way through the opposition of the enemy. You know, I thought about the scripture we've used so many times. I mean, how many times has the Lord exhort the people through the apostles in their letters mainly, but he exhorts us to not be anxious, not be angry, all those things and many other things that I mentioned, all these virtues that God wants to express through us or things that he wants to overcome from our old nature. How many of you think that God just, like I say, tells us that in his theory? It's not, is it? And so we sing the song about God's sovereignty, all things that he does, everything is according to his will. What's the song? Somebody remind me. Everything happens, nothing could happen outside of God's will. That's what it was. Nothing could happen outside of God's will. Do you really believe that the Lord is in charge? I mean, do we really actually believe that? wouldn't we react a little differently if we really believed it? Because we do react. And it's like Donald was saying, we react to things. And God wants to help us to learn to understand what's going on. We've talked so much about how we need to be changed. Anybody here still need to be changed? Yeah. How do you think that happens? Do you think God's just going to let us rock along and explain it all to us, and then we got it? Or is God going to literally have to put us in the fire in very personal ways and touch the very weakness and need that you and I have? That's why he does this on Sunday mornings to me sometimes, because he knows it's something that I wrestle with. There's all kinds of issues involved that probably you could probably figure them out, but I mean, they're very personal to me. And they're things that he wants me to have a greater victory in. Well, how is that going to happen? If I don't ever have a battle, if I don't ever have to fight through something, if I don't ever have to deal with the enemy and say, wait a minute, devil, I don't have to listen to you. This is what God says, and this is what is true. If I don't ever have to do that, have I ever got a victory? Have I ever really won a victory? Victory is not just dancing around an empty boxing ring and saying, I'm the greatest. Some of you can remember Muhammad Ali. But anyway, that's not victory. There's no victory if there's no opponent. And the opponent is not just circumstances. You know, many times we talk about going through difficult circumstances and God working those circumstances out. Well, that's part of it. Praise God. But the biggest circumstance is not what's happening out here. It's how things affect us. And many times it's exactly like the brothers were expressing this morning. It's not something that anybody else necessarily even knows about. Because it's just the Lord literally giving the devil permission to get his thoughts in and to express them. Don't you think the Lord could just put a wall around us and nothing would ever touch us? But that isn't how it works. That's not how he grows up his sons and daughters. We're going to have to face real things, and many times they are, not just the circumstances, but they're the... And the thing is, the Lord knows what your particular personality is like. You're different from, as we've said many times, you're different from anybody that ever has been or ever will be. You're unique. You have a special place in His kingdom. But you've also got very unique needs. Now, we may share many of those needs, but, I mean, the real specifics and the timing of how God works in us is very personal. And God is looking for a people who will learn to understand what's going on and how to react to it. Obviously, we see Jesus going into the wilderness and being tempted, and the devil, you know, came up with the things he thought were the greatest potential weaknesses for Jesus. The first one is, you've been here 30 days and haven't eaten anything, you're probably hungry. Well, you got the power. If you're the Son of God, do something about it. But that was not God's purpose in that particular time, and so he answered correctly. Man doesn't live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He absolutely took the word of God and embraced it and expressed it, not just as a, oh, this is what I've heard, that's what I'm supposed to say, but this was a conviction of his heart that came out of his mouth, and the devil had no answer for that. Do you know that's what God wants to do for every one of us? He wants to turn these words into such a conviction that we are able, in the moment of battle, at the lowest point, at the darkest moment, we can take his word, not just words off a page, but the kind of word that comes from our having been there and done that and got the t-shirt. There's no way that we can be victorious Christians without absolutely experiencing what God puts us through, regardless of whether it is the big circumstance or the quiet little battle that goes on that nobody knows about. Every one of us struggles with anxiety about something or other. So what's God? What's a God to do? Just tell us, don't be anxious. Okay, how does that work exactly? You ever ask that question? Well, you know, what God does to do something about that is to send the devil along to give you something to be anxious about. Wait a minute, he's working against himself. No, he's not. Because he wants you and me to be actual possessors of what we say we believe. Just like the Israelites had territory that God said, I've given it to you. And the problem was there were giants among the people who occupied those territories. And they had to actually look to God, let God give them the battle instructions, do what he said, and God gave them, to the extent they believed him, gave him them the land that he had promised. How many of you got territory in here that needs to be taken? Because there are giants. The biggest giants I have to deal with are not ones out here. They're the ones that I see when I look in the mirror. And the devil is oppressing me with the things that he knows are my weaknesses. Well, God knows they are too. So if God is allowing him to probe my weaknesses, does that mean God's against me? Is he just trying to make me feel bad? How else can we possibly experience what we call victory if there's never a battle? If there's never an enemy? You know, I had this passing thought. I mentioned the fact that we experience anxiety. And of course, he says, don't be anxious. And he tells us to pray. And he says to do it with thanksgiving. You know, I had this thought. It's wonderful to say, Lord, I bring this thing about which I am anxious. I bring it to you, and I'm giving it to you, and I'm thanking you that you're going to do something about it. Okay, that's fine. Isn't that how you've always taken it? It's how I've always taken it. But I think there's another level of depth in that. With thanksgiving, can we thank God for sending the problem in the first place? If we're asking him to help us, to deliver us, to take us to deeper ground or higher ground, deeper territory, whatever. Anyway, deeper, you know what I'm talking about. Deeper experience. If we're asking him to do that and he is answering our prayer by touching the thing in us that's holding us back so that we can win a victory, can we not say, Lord, thank you, you're answering my prayer? You know, might not that be a good perspective to have on the issues that are affecting you and me right now? It's gotten kind of quiet. Something to think about, isn't it? You know, a lot of our problem is we don't understand what God's doing. God, take me to higher ground. That means he's going to dump a bucket of honey in my soul and I'm just going to be soaring like an eagle and never have a problem. And, you know, most of the time, if you got somebody who really prays that from the heart, what happens? Does it get easier? No. He turns the devil loose to touch the areas of need in our hearts. He is the sculptor. He is the master craftsman. He knows what he's doing. He knows the secrets of my heart. I don't know. So if he's allowing something in me that he wants to change to be touched, is he doing it? Is he against me or is he for me? He's for me. He's answering my prayer. Wouldn't it be a good thing if we could just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. But more than that, Lord, I know you want to take me into these pages. But you want to take me into these pages in such a way that I can experience what this is about. You know, you sang the song this morning. How do I know it's so? Because I can't remember all the words now, but I can't remember any of the words. But you know the song I'm talking about. Jesus did it for me. How can I tell you? Because Jesus did it for me. How many of you got things right now that you'd like to be able to tell people when they're in a tough place, and you're still struggling with it too? We want the Lord to be able to help us and use us just right within the congregation to help one another. But, you know, he's got people out there that he wants to reach, and he's kind of struggling with us, trying to get us to where he can actually use us, to where we can go out with a real testimony and say, yeah, I've been there. I know exactly how you feel. Doesn't the Lord do that sometimes? He'll allow you to go through something and you have no explanation for it, and then down the road, oh,
amen.
Now I get it. Now I understand why you let me experience that difficult time, that dark time, that time where the circumstance just didn't, I couldn't snap my fingers. I couldn't pop a little scripture at it and have it just disappear. I had to stand in faith.
That's right.
And then down the road, there's somebody else that's in that same place of darkness. And there you are with a testimony. That's able to help them because you truly experienced the thing for which Jesus died. Did he die to give us a religion, or did he die to bring victory over everything that's wrong with us?
Amen.
Now, I know that nobody here would ever have a problem with this, but there are people here eventually, you know, someplace that actually have a problem with anger. Giggle, giggle. That's a kind of a human reaction. Things that displease us, things that threaten us in some way or threaten our sense of righteousness or whatever the issue is. Boy, are we prone to that, aren't we? Oh, God, deliver me from my anger. Deliver me from my anger. And we expect somehow magically those feelings will just go away. How many of you discovered it doesn't work like that? How many of you discovered that God's prescription for delivering you from anger is to send people and circumstances around you that make you angry? Is that the truth? Yeah, so why would he do that? That doesn't make, you know, to the carnal mind, that doesn't make a lot of sense, but it makes absolute sense. And we've had to say this many times because it's true and we don't get it right away, but if you're angry, the problem is not the thing, it's you. And until we get that and realize God hasn't called us to straighten everybody else out and bring them into our, you know, to our point of view about everything, or else we're going to be angry at them, or, you know, not do stuff to us. If that's, I lost my train of thought, but you know what I'm saying? That's not what God is after. God is after the problem that reacts in you. Do you think Jesus possibly had a few things that, you know, could have upset him? Now, there was the one occasion when I believe he acted in godly anger, and it wasn't just, you know, I'm upset and I'm going to take it out on you. But when he took the whips and he was trying to make a real point of what they had done to the temple, turned it into a market for thieves. But how many times were things said and things done that any one of us would have reacted in great anger and upset? Oh my God, they shouldn't be like that. I've got to fix it. And we always project the problem as being out there. Well, if God sees that, again, what's a God to do? He is going to have to send you things in your life. He will do it deliberately to allow things to happen that were going to make you angry if you react the way you normally react. Now, what's he after? He's after, number one, that we recognize what the problem really is. Are we willing to say, wait a minute, that's not the problem. This is the problem. And I need power that I wasn't born with. That's why the gospel is not just about erasing sins. The gospel is about a new heart and a new life. I don't have the power to be the person he wants me to be. I'm going to have to go to him. I'm going to have to go to that river. I'm going to have to be willing to go to him and say and confess honestly, Lord, the problem is here and I need help. I need to learn to consciously, by faith, yield to you, believing that you are in me and you have the power to react the way you react. How do we learn how to exercise that kind of faith unless it's in the field of battle? That's what it takes. May God help us. Again, like I said, I didn't come up with anything this morning, just some random thoughts, but God wants a people who will learn how to be his people, and he will touch the need in your life. He's going to do it. You might as well just say, okay, Lord, bring it on. But always remember, again, when he allows something like that, if it's a test, if it's a temptation, if it's something that tries to draw out your old nature, he will always make a way of escape. Always. It's there. We don't always avail ourselves of it, but it's always there. And what is that way of escape? It's grace, divine strength. What's the purpose of that divine strength? So we can skedaddle out of there and not feel it anymore? No, so we can stand up. We can bear up. We can say, this will not defeat me. I have a right spirit because he lives within me. I do not have to react and react like my old nature would tell me to. We talk about deliverance and freedom. Isn't that deliverance? We'd like the Lord to deliver us from the bad circumstances. This is what we need deliverance from. If he can change us from the inside out and we learn how to allow Christ to live in us, so it's like Paul said, it's not I, but Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what the gospel is about. But oh, it's an experiential thing, folks. We are going to have to go through the very thing that we fear. You think about what Job said. Here's the Lord, and we've gone through that story so many times, but the Lord looked down and saw Job and realized this is somebody special. He's walking in what he knows. He's heard all about me, and he has a zeal to walk with me and to honor me. He goes overboard and is, you know, covering all his bases. If his children had a feast, they probably did something wrong. Let's offer a sacrifice. I mean, there was a fearfulness about it. And so he went through this unexplainable trial where so much was allowed to be taken from him, and he questioned God. I mean, he questioned everything. But there came a time when the Lord stepped in and began to reveal himself. Daniel, you think you know? Job, thank you. Job, you think you know so much? Were you there when I created everything? Were you there and all these things? You know how everything works? And finally, Job came to the end. And his reaction was, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Wherefore I repent in dust and ashes. The Lord wanted to bring Job out of a kind of a secondhand faith that he had at that point. You know, I bet you there are people right here, especially people that grow up here. And honestly, what you've got is a pretty secondhand faith. Do you know that God wants to make himself known to you? Do you know that God knows how to bring about the circumstances that will bring you face to face with your need of him? Amen. I thank God. Yeah, there are things that make me anxious, but I have every reason to say, thank you, Lord. Now, we want to say thank you, Lord, when the sun is shining and we feel good. But you know, we need to learn how to give the sacrifice of thanks. Sacrifice means we don't feel like doing it, but we know that he's good. This isn't just a, well, I know that's what I'm supposed to do. This is, I know, I've got a conviction that's stronger than my need to, you know, to get all upset. I've got a conviction that he's real, that he knows me, that he loves me. That's real. And so based upon what, and how did I get that? Was I so smart to figure it out? Was I so worthy? No. God looked at me, an unworthy sinner, and made himself known. And the need that I had was something only he could deal with, and he did. And he wants me to come to know him in a deeper, more experiential way. I don't know any way that can happen except us having to face real life and learn what these words mean when it hurts. Now, this is a real uplifting sermon, right? Well, hopefully it's not a sermon at all. But it's the truth, isn't it? Am I telling you the truth today? Is that where you're at right now? Are there issues right now in your heart and your spirit? You're struggling with something. You know, I've already mentioned something this morning, and it was an absolute principle. The issue isn't the issue, but how we pray sometimes and God's silent. There's a waiting. There's a time for just waiting on God. And God is allowing the circumstance to go on, but pray, the thank you is, the thanks that we give is not, thank you, Lord, boom, problem is gone. Many times, you know, he offers in that one scripture peace that passes understanding. Do you know we can have peace that goes beyond human explanation? Even though the problem is still there, even though the devil is still trying to make us anxious and angry and upset about it, that God, we can actually say, wait a minute, God has given me peace. God, you've got this. I am trusting in you. Silence. I'm still trusting in you. Because part of the work that you want to do in me is to build that quality of standing in the darkness. Standing when it hurts. Standing when every natural part of you would say, no, this doesn't make sense. You know, we have the example of Abraham, don't we? How many years did he stand and believe God and continue to do the right thing? Yeah, he took a few detours, but always there was that bottom line relationship with God. I know who this is. He tells me something, I believe it. And God brought him to a place where there was no possible solution, no possible way that what God had promised him could ever happen. But against hope, he believed. This is the quality that God is seeking to reproduce in us. Are we going to grow as a people? We talked about how God has a place and a function for every member of the body of Christ, but how can we fill that? Unless we get there by letting God change us the way that he works, God is going to put you in battles that touch the very thing that holds you and me captive. And he's going to do it in his love and his faithfulness. And if we'll listen and look to him and go to that river and just instead of acting and reacting, he's going to give us something from here that we could, that's going to become ours in a way that it wasn't before. Yeah, we may have known it. We can quote it. We may have experienced it in a measure. But God wants us to have his word become the very thing that gives us life and purpose and a sense of everything we need. Am I telling you the truth this morning? Is the Lord telling you, telling me the truth and us the truth? Amen. I believe he is, don't you? We've got an awesome God who knows what he's doing. And I've said many times, you know, the prayer, Lord, change me, do whatever it takes, do whatever you need to do in me, is a dangerous prayer. Because he's going to answer, he's going to start answering that, and we're going to say, whoa, what's wrong? What's wrong? What did I do? Well, you asked me to change you, and I'm doing it. So can you just look up at me and say, thank you for answering the prayer? Okay. Oh, I'll tell you, he's got a lot to deal with, doesn't he? We're really something when you look at us and all of our needs. But God is so merciful and patient. You know, Michael talked about the amazing love that he could actually show love and care about us. The one who spoke the universe into existence is so great, so amazing, and yet he cares about the smallest issues of your life and mine and knows about them and is willing to give a personal prescription of how to deal with that if we'll only listen, if we'll only lay hold of his word and say, God, I understand why things happen the way they do. I know what you're doing, Lord, and I believe it, and I thank you. Help me in every circumstance to go to this, to go to you, and let you embed this word, implant it in here in a way that is going to bring forth real fruit. And then I'm going to grow up. I'm going to have something I can share with somebody else. That fruit's going to grow, and I'm going to say, here, taste this. I know what you're going through, but here's some good fruit. God, I've been there, and God brought me through, and he taught me something about myself that I wasn't even willing to know. I didn't know about it. But he loved me enough to help me. Isn't the Lord good to us? Praise God. God is so faithful. So I guess the bottom line is God wants us to have a faith that is won in the field of real battle. If we are going to be changed in such a way that we can actually be what he wants us to be in this world, this is how it happens. And there isn't any shortcut. You can't come down here and get magic hands laid on you and somehow bypass all of this. Yeah, God might touch you in a special way. Praise God if he does. There are experiences that God gives people, but that's not where it's at. There are a lot of folks out there that just try to live by experience. I feel bad. I got to get another experience. I got to go to another service, and man, we got to work everything up and get everybody all excited. No, we need to just come to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I'm here on your timetable. I'm here for your purposes. You know what you're doing, and I just simply yield myself to you. You're the potter. I'm the clay. It's not my job to figure things out. It's my job to be the clay and just have a thankful heart. And I'll tell you, God is going to do things in ways that we don't expect. But don't we need to recognize his hand? Is he truly allowing anything that's not part of his plan? Is the devil slipping in on God when he's not looking? The way we act sometimes, it's like we think that. But even in that, the Lord is seeking to teach us. I want to be teachable, don't you? Amen. I want him to show me what he's doing in my life. Give me the faith to just trust him, whether it's a time element, whether it's a difficulty, whatever the battle is, and to say, Lord, this thing that I was born with that isn't quite cooperating with you, it needs to die, and I need to join you in helping to put this thing to death by trusting you and agreeing with your words. And I don't have the strength to do that, but you do, and you've promised to give it to me, so I'm trusting in you. And if I don't gain feelings by saying that, then praise God, it doesn't mean you haven't heard me. You're faithful. And I'm just going to keep right on trusting you because your word is true. You are true. You are faithful. And that's what faith is all about. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. I really needed this morning. And Brother Spiels was talking about anger. I'm going to tell you what, I don't have to watch the news very long before I get angry. And I sit there and I get mad, and sometimes my mama has to put up with some stuff coming out of my mouth. But I appreciate her so much because she'll get my attention and she'll go. And she'll say, Rick, you got to remember the Lord's in charge. Amen. And she'll probably say that to me a couple of hundred times because I can sure get angry
when you start watching what's going on out there. And that wasn't really why I wanted to come up here, but Brother Phil talked about being thankful and some things and why. And I thought about I think I told this story years ago, but I think it's relevant. But I remember when I was up there at the ministry, and something happened in church that involved, I hadn't been saved long, I think a little over a year, and something happened in church and it involved another person. And it really affected me. I mean, really bad. And it was causing me some serious problems, and the reason why is I couldn't get it out of my head. I couldn't get it out to save my life, and it was negative, and it was getting bigger and bigger. And I will tell you something. I was praying. I went and talked to the counselor up there, and I went and talked to the director, and I prayed, and I prayed. I prayed. Nothing's happening, and it's up there, and I said, Lord, this thing's affecting me. It's pulling me down. You got to help me. You got to get this thing out of my head. And I mean serious prayer. And this went on for weeks. And one day I was in my place where I prayed at. And it hit me. I remember what Brother Joel, I said, I got to change things up. I said, I got to change things up. And so what I did is I started thanking God for this thing. And praising God and thanking God. And something happened. I know we don't go by experiences. But something happened that day during that prayer meeting. And what the Lord did is when I got done and I was walking around, I believe I was walking down the hallway and it just hit me. All of a sudden, and the Lord told me this. He said, Rick, I am building a house that will stand. Mm-hmm. And that did it. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. That's right. God was working on here. He's using that thing in there. And he's building a house in each one of us that will stand. That will stand. Praise God. Amen. Thank the Lord. He's always doing for us them things that we cannot do for ourselves. And I know this. I heard something on, I was watching TV last night, and wasn't really thinking about the Lord or nothing like that. There was a movie I'd never seen before, so. But in the movie, they had a funeral, and the preacher said something about, you must hate this life to gain a life that you cannot lose. And I thought about that. I said, Lord, how do I do that? I don't have nothing in me that wants me to hate this life. Nothing. Everything in me wants me to prolong my life, make life easy on me, have a better life. I said, how do I hate my life? How do I do that? And the Lord said, you can't do it, but I can. I can. I need the one who can do everything that I can't do. And when I get to that place, he can flow through a vessel that can help other people. Which is what he's after. Praise God. Amen.
Praise God. I appreciate what's been shared here this morning. I had a couple of thoughts. You know, we sang that song, "To the River I Am Coming." You know, God just wants a surrender out of us. He wants us to be honest with Him about what we are going through and what we're facing. I think pride holds us back from being honest with God because we think we can hide something from Him. But you know that He wrote your DNA out? The God of the universe, He knows every single thing about you. There is not one thing hidden in your heart or your life that He does not know about and that He is not concerned about. He loves us this morning. I thought about this song here. I've got a friend. He's closer than a brother. There is no judgment. Oh, how He loves me. I've got a friend. And He is my strength. He is my portion. With me in the valley, with me in the fire, with me in the storm. Let all my life testify, hallelujah, we are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise my soul. God really loves us. His mercy's enough. His grace is sufficient. So come if you're needing forgiveness or healing. His mercy's enough. You know, He will meet you right where you're at and not judge you. You know that? He loves you this morning. I don't care what you're carrying right now or what you're facing. God really loves you. Oh, and this is our hope. The cross, it has spoken. Death is no more. Christ is the Lord. Oh, this is our hope. I had a scripture here come to me whenever Brother Ricky was sharing what he shared. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. He's building a house. Are we part of that house? He wants you to be part of that house. You know that He brought you into existence to be in fellowship with Him forever. Forever. Lord wants to free us from the things that bind us. I thought about this. It's also in Hebrews chapter 3. It says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart." I want you to recognize how He addressed this. See to it, brothers. These are born-again people He's talking to. He's talking to us this morning. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Why? Because God loves us. He's got our best interest at heart. Today, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. And that today is in a capital T because that's all we've got. We got right here, right now. If you've got something, ask God to help you with it. He will deliver you. And trust that He will deliver you. When you go to Him, and man, what Ricky shared there, starting to thank God for your weaknesses. Because guess what? It's those things that we need Christ for. And He wants to deliver us. He's got a lot for us, folks. I'm in need of what we heard this morning because, man, I tell you what, the things that trouble me are not the same things that trouble Phil or anybody else because we are individually made by God's own hand. But He loves us. He created us, and He's got our best interest at heart. But He wants to free you today. Would you be free from your burden of sin, your cares, everything? Do you not have peace? Is there something that is holding you back? God wants to deliver you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was thinking about that song, man, "To the river I'm going, bringing sins I cannot bear." Praise God. The Lord wants to help us. He is there with open arms and not clenched fists. He loves you. He loves me today. And I know He's helping people. But I tell you what, for some reason, God is encouraging us to go further. God, look into my heart. It's an open book. Everything's open and laid bare before you. It's here. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Does anybody else have anything? Yes. Come on up, brother.
This will be real short, but is something I can testify that I've learned in a measure, and I believe it's really important as the weeks come upon us. And as I heard Phil talking about it and Ricky, And I was reminded of the meeting we had, the first service. I believe it was the first service. And I believe it was Phil. Just a simple thought, hearing what the Spirit is saying, hearing God's voice. As the week unfolds, there's going to be conversations going to take place with all of us. And it's going to be with, it could be with yourself, definitely with the devil, putting him on the run. But we need to hear God's voice. We need to hear God's voice. And he wants to speak to you and me. And he does through his word, through a song, in ways that I cannot. It's personal to all of us. And you should know. You know, even what you hear when Ricky was talking, he said God spoke about building a house, and boom, that it happened. We all should have that boom, shouldn't we? If, and I'm going to just say this, and this gets personal. If you are having a problem in hearing his voice and going through dry times, first thing I recommend you do is slow down. Slow down a little bit and ask him to help you to hear his voice. That's important. That is the whole Christian journey of why God sent his son. He wanted to bring us back into fellowship with the God of wonders of the universe. Think about that. That's why he sent his son. So if that's not happening, then either, I'll just refer to me, I won't even refer to you, either I'm going too fast or I'm too busy, or I've become so tuned in to hearing my voice or the enemy or something else, and I'm not listening to that small, still voice and walking in obedience to that and asking, Lord, you've spoken, help me to walk this out.